Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Diabetes.
Give me them diabetes then.
Yeah. Story number four.
1 year ago today, it was Prince died.
Mm.
It is sad,
about
right?
A moment of silence?
I think so. Moment of silence for Prince.
They like straight up turned that that Palisades Park into Graceland up there in Minnesota.
He is, he was only 45 years old.
Mm.
Died in an elevator from a drug overdose. And not even like old school rock and roll drug overdose, right. Heroin, coke stuff. It was just like he had a pill problem. The way your uncle has a pill problem, the way your cousin has a pill problem, the way that woman that lives three doors down from you has a pill problem. Like basically everybody in America these days has a pill problem.
Sure.
And
it's like a rampant thing.
No, I mean, it's like a serious, serious thing.
You start reading about it,
like
it
if
is
you don't,
every, your neighbor is
if,
affected by it.
If, yeah. Like
it's your neighbor.
Like walk in your driveway,
yeah.
There is somebody within three houses to your left and three houses to your right,
yep.
That's got a serious pill problem right now.
No question.
Like, it is a massive problem, and so just get help if you need it.
Yep.
Don't die like Prince, because Prince was awesome. You're probably not as awesome as Prince. Mm. We probably won't miss you that much, but still, I would prefer you not die. You want to win Grizzlies tickets? Call 535-3776, 535-ESPN. Fifth caller. Got two tickets to Game 4. Tomorrow night, Jeff Calkins up next.
Wilbur, please call Mr. Tree.
Don't worry, I got this, baby. You don't need to call nobody. I'm a man.
Oops. Oh, no!
Well, you said you wanted a new car.
Wilbur!
Fallen limbs or need a tree removed? Call the pros at Mr. Tree. They specialize in trimming, sodding, lot clearing, storm damage, and a whole lot more. And if you have an emergency, 24-hour service is available as well as financing options. Mr. Tree, online at MrTree.com or call 901-300-3938.
Wilbur, can I please call Mr. Tree now?
With spring temperatures showing up every other week, it's time to shop at Dixie Pickers, the brands you love, plus two new exciting brands only available there, Genteel Apparel and Fish Hippier Apparel, plus new shipments of Costa and Maui Jim sunglasses, two locations, Memphis and Collierville, or visit DixiePickersStore.com.
Indulge your sweet tooth with today's Perks deal. Half off a $10 gift certificate to the Pie Folks. The place to get the best homemade pies ever to be baked. After one bite, you can taste the quality, goodness, and love they put into every pie. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
The people who design, engineer, and build Ford vehicles never rest. And neither do the specialists who service them. No one keeps those cars and trucks running or stopping better than them. After all, no one knows your Ford better than Ford and Ford Service.
Now get a $50 rebate by mail on any Motorcraft brake service when you use the Ford Service credit card. Subject to credit approval, taxes extra, rebate by prepaid debit card. Pads or shoes on most vehicles, one axle exclusions apply. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 6/30/17.
Stop into Lowe's, where you'll find big savings on those indoor and outdoor projects popping up on your to-do list. Add new color inside with paint and primer starting at a new lower price of $17.98. Plus, show your landscape some love with 5 bags of premium mulch for just $10. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 4/19 through 4/26. While supplies last, color and selection vary by location. U.S. only. See store for details.
There's no sense in having a nice dress shirt that doesn't fit right. You'll look sloppy even if you spend good money, and that's why you'd have to be insane to not take advantage of the newest custom shirt technology at James Davis. It's amazing. Check this out. You'll walk in, and the folks at James Davis will take 3 measurements, literally, take seconds. Then they punch those measurements into a computer, and it spits out the name of one of 99 shirts inside James Davis. You'll grab that shirt, put it on, and realize quickly that it looks like it was made specifically for you. Then you pick the fabric and the pattern, and that shirt will be made specifically for you and ready in 7 days. Prices start at just $98. That's it. And I, Gary Parrish, am speaking from experience. I had a shirt made this way at James Davis. Fits perfectly. If your next dress shirt isn't custom made this way, you're making a mistake. And while you're at James Davis, take advantage of the other great deals. Like right now, you can get 2 Paul Bettinelli suits for just $7.95. Usually $11.90, just $7.95 right now. And remember, same day alterations are available. Free shoe shines every Saturday. The best clothing store in America is here in Memphis. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis. This is Memphis's home of the playoff payoff. Listen every weekday to 92.9 FM ESPN for your chance to win $1,000. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
I wanna disappear.
In the walls of your home, maybe floors that are sinking or sloping a bit. It could be signs of a foundation problem. If you got a foundation problem, you got a serious problem. You need to call Redeemers Group. They've been serving Memphis and Mid-South since 2008, offering complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. If you mention my name, when you proceed with your project, my name's Gary Parish. You'll get an additional $50 off your project. You can reach them at 451-8765, 451-8765. They handle foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, concrete leveling, and the inspections are free. So you call them at your house, they'll estimate the situation, give you a number, and then you decide what you want to do. If you decide you don't want to go forward, you don't owe them a penny. So there's no harm in calling. You should call 451-8765, 451-8765. They're on the web, redeemersgroup.com. 505, Gary Parish Show. We on 92.9 FM ESPN. We screwed up the print segment completely.
Oh, no.
Two things.
What's going
on? And I
on?
Knew you were wrong when you said it, but I didn't want to correct you.
What?
But now I feel like I got to.
Please correct me.
You said Prince used to live at Palisades Park, as Tony points out on Twitter.
What is that place called?
Paisley Park.
Paisley Park. Beg your pardon.
Could easy to get confused. Two P's.
Yeah.
P-P-P. Bunch of P's.
It's in Minneapolis, right?
Just outside of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said Prince was only 45 years old.
How old?
That's clearly not true.
No?
He's 57 years old. Oh. I was reading something, and they were quoting somebody who was 45 years old.
Oh.
And I saw the 45, and I just blurted it into the microphone.
He was Calkins' age.
Yeah, he's basically
he was
Jeff
young
Calkins.
Man.
Yeah, he's a young man like Calkins.
Yeah.
Anyway, moment of silence for Prince again. One
okay,
year ago
awesome.
Today.
Mm.
Meantime, Newsweek has released a story that says Aaron Hernandez's hidden sexuality fueled the murder of Odin Lloyd.
What's going on?
Police sources say.
Was he playing, he was a gay man?
Sounds like maybe.
Interesting.
Hadn't had time to read the story, but that's the headline.
Okay.
Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm interested in the story.
I know. Well, let's read it.
Let's read it together. Can we this
together.
Is a pretty big story here that Aaron Hernandez's sexuality is part of this. Okay.
Let's see here. God, it's a long story. I feel like I don't know if we're ever going to get to the gay part.
That's what she said.
On April 19th, sometime before 3 a.m., Aaron Hernandez, blah, blah, blah. We
He's
know
one of these artistic leads. Just cut to the...
Yeah, just cut to...
Did, what, my Twitter's so
yeah,
good.
What's the hook?
All right, listen.
Get to the hook.
Was Aaron? How about this? I'm going to talk to Jeff. You go read the story at Newsweek, Brad.
Yeah, report
I'll find
back.
And all then
right.
report back to... I ain't
Newsweek.
Got time to read this poetry about
Newsweek.
Aaron Hernandez. Shortly after 3 a.m. on April 19th, like, okay... Get to the chase.
Yeah, what's going
Newsweek,
on?
Newsweek, is he gay or not? Was Aaron Hernandez gay or not? That's what I need to know. I ain't trying to read
okay,
all this in
go.
The middle of a show. Brad, you do some research. I talked to Calkins. Calkins, how are you? You enjoying your Friday?
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
Yeah, I left again because I was like, and that's why I never get mad at people. Like, I saw folks on Twitter as I was lying on my couch on a pillow watching the end of the Grizzlies game last night. The
you had made it back to the house in time to watch the end?
Dude.
What time did you leave?
Right around halftime. I was like, you know what? I have so many televisions. I don't need to be here right now. I'm tired. Like, I get up at 5:30 every morning. And I know there are other people who get up at 5:30 every morning, but I don't care about them. I'm talking about me. I get up at 5:30 every morning. And so, like, by the time it was like 10 o'clock, I'm like, I'm not staying here till midnight and then going. Like, this is crazy. Like,
I actually don't begrudge. I know there are Nazis about people, you know, who don't leave early. I think even if you were that person who thinks it's poor form to leave early, particularly in a win, I don't really get leaving wins as early as much as losses. Like, I'll leave losses early because I can't stand the pain. But a win, but the truth of the matter is, so it was reasonably, not empty, but it was quite thinned out
sure.
by the end of the game last night. And I had no quibble with it. People had to get out to Collierville or Bartlett or whatever.
Hernando.
This morning. It was really, really late. And so I had no quibble. They were there. They bought their tickets. They waved their ground towels. They wore their T-shirts. They chanted, Z-Bo, Z-Bo, Z-Bo. And then they left a little early because they had to go up this morning.
Hey, I left earlier than them, most of them.
You clearly did.
Yeah.
You didn't chant Z-Bo because that didn't happen until the second half.
I was chanting in my car on the drive home. I was like, Z-Bo, Z-Bo. And then I was like on my couch watching the end. And I saw everybody on Twitter like, I can't believe you'd leave. I'm like, dude, I'm sleepy. I'm like, I might not stay awake for the rest of the game. I did, but I was tired. I never get mad at people for leaving, particularly on weeknights. Like, folks have kids and soccer practice and whatever it is you got going on.
And I'm now to the point where, well, so for me, the problem now is that because our deadlines at the commercial appeal are so early that there's no chance of getting anything in the actual newspaper, you're just writing for digital. And if you're writing for digital, there's no particular deadline. So I end up filing at 2 o'clock in the morning. I filed a little quick little story that as it went up at the buzzer, but then I spent time in the locker room, talked to everybody. It's much easier on the deadline, but it's much harder on my sleep. And I'm to the point, I'm nearly at the age of Prince when he died, as a damn single, lucky I'm alive, actually, now that I think about it. And if I don't get 7 hours of sleep, I'm kind of wrecked the next day. I'm not good for anything.
Yeah, I was probably midnight to 5:30. I got a good...
That would make me tired the next day. That would make me tired and less effective.
But then I got Aiden out the door, and then I laid back down from about 6:45 to 7:45. So I got another hour in there, maybe like 8 o'clock.
That's good.
Yeah, like that extra hour. And then I had a dream. Do you want to hear about how crazy my dream was?
I had a
dream that Chris Mack from Xavier and Michelle Beadle from ESPN came down because I was holding a charity wiffle ball tournament, and they came down to play in the charity wiffle ball tournament, and they were staying at my house, and we had four-wheelers. Which we have one, we don't have multiple, but in this dream we had multiple. And they were like, can we, they've been drinking all day. And they were like, can we ride your four-wheelers? And I was like, sure, if you want to ride my four-wheelers, that's fine. And they ran into Kelly's car and like wrecked themselves. And like we had to call 911 to come get an ambulance for Chris Mack. And then I woke up. What a weird dream, right?
Let me ask you this. Apart from the dream, all I know about four-wheelers is about every 2 months I read about someone dying on a four-wheeler.
Right.
Isn't that a dangerous thing?
Feels like it could be.
Yeah.
The one, we bought this for Aiden when he was much younger, as if that makes it safer. No, Jeff, you have to.
Oh, man, right.
Give it to the little kids.
No, Jeff.
We got it when he was three.
Yeah, no, Jeff, you have to understand, he had this when he was seven. But it really was like, so it's a smaller one that he does not even ride anymore. It just happens to be in our garage. I don't know why it's in our garage. If you want it, you can have it. My dad, when I was young, had a three-wheeler. Which, like, I don't even think they make them anymore because, like, you would just, it was like,
jump over.
It was like you were automatically going to die.
Yeah.
Like, if you, like, it was like, you just, like, hey, okay, get your coffin ready. Now go ride your three wheeler. And of course, I was like 7 years old, like, riding a three wheeler with no helmet on. The whole thing's ridiculous. Like, the things that used to be normal are so not normal anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it never occurred to, like, I guess some parents, but, like, you just get in the car and like just like sleep in the back and like jump around. Like you never like have to wear a seatbelt. If I ever saw one of my kids in my car without the seatbelt on, like we stop the car and yell at them. Like, what are you doing? Right. Put your seatbelt, get back on. What are you crazy? And like we'd just be riding down the road, like people smoking in the car, windows up, no seatbelts, Miller Lite can in the middle. Like everything was just normal. And so I would be on this three-wheeler. And I remember one time, like, I'm just lucky. Like there's what happened to me has happened to other people who died or who ended up in a wheelchair forever. But I'm just, like, flooring this, like, just going as fast as you can on this three-wheeler. And I hit, like, a tree, the tree had fallen over. So it's just there in the middle of this trail. And I, I flipped, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And I just had a scratch. I was fine. But I could have very easily died at that moment. Like, yeah, like, all this stuff is insane.
Well, I'm glad Michelle Beadle escaped.
Yeah, like, she's mostly fine. Chris Mack's the one I'm worried about. We had to call 911. He was just lying in the street. He was just lying there like, ugh.
So, apparently, Hernandez.
Is Aaron Hernandez? is gay or not, Brad?
He is. He's had gay relationships. One when he was like much younger, like 17 in high school with a high school male lover friend. And then apparently there was a relationship in prison, and it got a little dicey because he obviously had a girlfriend. So through side channels, his boyfriend in prison, according to this Newsweek article, could have gotten that information to his girlfriend. He had a real girlfriend.
Fiance.
Fiance. So,
serious question. Yeah. Does your fiance get mad?
I thought this all had something to do with the murder. I thought you said it had something to do with
it. In reading this column, they don't connect it very well. That's sort of a tease headline. It says, related, Hernandez's death shines a light on a larger problem of suicide in prison. It has to do with you
being... Seems like what they're suggesting is that Odin Lloyd might have known that Aaron Hernandez was gay,
right,
and threatened to out him, or maybe could have outed him. And so Aaron Hernandez said, we can't have that. I got to put 6 bullets in you.
Right.
Odin Lloyd is the one that he killed, his buddy he killed.
That is,
yes.
Odin Lloyd is the
Are
one.
Are they really suggesting that Odin Lloyd was going to out him?
They don't
really
say that in this.
They
kind of suggest that in parts of this. They do not say that, though. It says that the person in prison could have helped him more, hiding murder weapons, etc. If they had known he'd got some help, that he was a limp wrist, multiple sources said.
Jesus, Brad.
Brad.
No, it's in the column.
You realize, really, you're
going to
do that?
I was reading the column.
I got a letter just the other day from someone complaining about our sexist.
I'm not saying that. It says it in the column.
Serena and Venus, and now you're going to start calling people limp.
No, I didn't call him that. It's in the column. Y'all told me to read the column. It says it in the column.
Oh, man.
They called him a limp wrist in the column?
Here's the quote.
It's a quote.
Hernandez's cousin, Tanya Singleton, said that he would not have helped Hernandez get rid of the murder weapon, a crime for which he is now serving a 4.5 to 7 year sentence on accessory to murder charges, if he had known Hernandez was a limp wrist, multiple sources say.
That's a quote, or is that
the guy in prison said he would have helped him if he knew he was a limp wrist. That's the quote. All right.
Not from the reporter. The reporter's quoting someone else. Thing.
Hey, how about them Grizzlies, Jeff?
Man.
Zeebo. But they're not going to rook us. Take that for data.
Do you think your fiance would get mad at you if
Jesus.
You were in prison?
Please, no.
And you had a gay relationship. You think she'd
be... I think she'd be understanding.
Yeah, right. I think she'd have to be understanding. You could just look at her and say, baby, I love you, but, like, what do you want me to do?
I'm in prison.
There's not a lot of women in here.
Yeah, like,
you're
I'm
not here.
It's all
you're
dudes.
Not here. You're not here. Right. I'd rather be with you, but I can't. So now I have to be with this guy down the hall.
Ernest, perhaps
it was Ernest. Anyway, what a story, huh? Look at Newsweek.
Moving right along.
Zeebo.
Exactly. He was awesome.
Yeah. In all seriousness, if you can, and I know this isn't an original thought, but it does echo some of the stuff I had said earlier in the week. There are discussions about blowing the Grizzlies up if they lose in the first round of the playoffs again, because it would be 4 times in 7 years. I was with a couple basketball people unrelated to the Grizzlies last night at dinner before the game. We were talking about this, and they both said, with no hesitation, that if they were running the Grizzlies, they would make Mark available, they would make Mike available, and not trade him for anything, but just see what you could get. And if you could get draft picks and pieces, young pieces, then do it, because this is not going, it's going to, when it goes bad, it's going to go real bad. And I don't think they're wrong about the latter. Like, when it goes bad, it's going to be bad. But last night was a reminder for me, and I know other people, that I don't think I would blow it up. I think I would ride the Zach, Mark, Mike train as long as you can ride it, wherever it takes you, and deal with tomorrow, because to blow it up, A, guarantees nothing. Like, it doesn't guarantee you're going to get a top 3 pick. It doesn't guarantee you're going to hit it when you do. It doesn't guarantee that, you know, somebody like Anthony Davis can change your franchise because he ain't changed New Orleans, or that Carl Anthony Towns can change your franchise because he ain't changed Minnesota. So even when you get the next great thing, what does it really mean? And I don't know that I would be interested in voluntarily giving up what we had last night and what we're going to have on Saturday. Are you on board with me there?
I've always been with the blowing it up is stupid crowd. And it's because I really do believe that bad basketball is really hard to watch in the NBA. There are no guarantees that you're going to be good. And what we have here is compelling. It's not as compelling as the Warriors. If I knew that by blowing it up, I could be the Warriors in 3 years, then I'd blow it up. It's not as compelling as the Warriors, but it's pretty much as compelling as Cleveland. But over the last 7 years, it's been as compelling as almost anyone else. San Antonio, it's been really as compelling as any of the Dallas, I guess, because they won a title in that. But it's been incredibly compelling. And the other thing I do think, it's what Chris Harrington said in his 901 today, it's not just that you're losing the connection to the players. And you don't necessarily, if you blow it up, you might get some players who you like again. You might get players who you can't stand or players who want to be traded in 3 years because they think Memphis is an asshole or something like that. But instead you have this beloved group of players. I just sort of out of obligation, because it's simply true that tomorrow could be Zach Randolph's last home game. I mentioned it in a little take five today, because it could be. If they lose in five, and if they don't sign him as a free agent, then tomorrow is his last home game as a Grizzly. But I don't think it is likely to be his last home game as a Grizzly. And B, I think there really is a special connection between this particular collection of players and the city. And then furthermore, I think, and this is the point that Chris made, the real connection that matters isn't even the connection to the players. It's the connection that Memphians feel to each other, because they are a part of what happened last night. And that's true whether you are sitting in the arena or whether you're sitting on your couch. I think people feel connected to each other and a part of something because of nights like last night. So when Mark gets to the point, if he gets to the point when he asks for a trade, that's what happened with Powell. Powell wanted a trade. He said, all right, what kind of pieces are we going to get for Powell? And you try to get the pieces for Powell, and you make do, and you hope you can rebuild as well as Chris Wallace built the first time around. But failing that, no, absolutely not. I'm not blowing it up. No question.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here, 92.9 FM ESPN, because I just, like, on just observing on social media today, friends of mine who are Grizzlies fans, season ticket holders, go to all the games, wear the shirts, all the stuff. Like, they seem to be, like, noticeably happy. You know, I don't even have to see them in person to tell that they're just happy. And you're going to lose that someday. And when you do, you deal with that. But to voluntarily give it up for whatever might be behind door number two just seems, I'm not going to say that's stupid, because there are smart people who think that's what you ought to do. And I don't think Sam Hinkie's an idiot. I think there's some logic behind his plan. And we might look up in 2 years and go, oh, wow, it worked perfectly. But I'm just not interested in that. I like having relevant basketball from October to April, even if it doesn't usually go where you would like it to go. Because going to the playoffs, and even if you get nothing better than what you got Saturday night and the build-up on Friday and Saturday, I mean, what you got Thursday night and then the build-up on Friday and Saturday heading into Saturday night's game, even if you never get more than that, that's good enough when the most likely alternative is you just suffering through a miserable regular season where the games don't matter.
For 7 years of it. It's not, you're not going to be good in 3 years. For 7 years of it. And to be clear, I think things could be different if you're in Philadelphia than you're in Memphis. I think there might be higher expectations of actually winning titles and that sort of thing. And I will also say that if I am Sam Hinkie and the 76ers, if you are tanking, I do believe in this sense that what he did was right. If you're tanking, tank hard.
Right.
There's no sense in tanking in a half-assed fashion. I also believe that the Celtics, for example, not trading for very good players because they want to get superstars was the right thing to do. The Celtics weren't going to win the title this year, no matter whether they acquired Jimmy Butler or Paul George or whomever. They might very well, depending on if they get the first pick in the draft, to draft well, the Warriors, either their budget gets too big and they can't keep all their players or they get old, the Celtics might well be in a position to win in 3 years. So I do believe that if you're tanking, tank hard, really suck, get high picks, and then don't try to prematurely make yourself mediocre. I don't necessarily. I think those things are both wise. But if you're in a position with a beloved group of players, like the Grizzlies have like right now, like Utah once had with Stockton and Malone, like Phoenix once had with Charles Barkley and Dan Majerle and that group, none of whom ever won a title. Those are still eras that are remembered, not just fondly, but are remembered as the greatest eras in the histories of those franchises. And I would tell you that I think 25 years from now, this era will start probably be remembered as the greatest era in this. I hope not, because I hope there's something better coming. But I think 25 years now, the likelihood is this era will be remembered as the greatest era in the history of this franchise.
Take that for data.
That is Jeff Calkins. He will be back in studio on a Monday at 9 a.m. You can read his stuff, commercialappeal.com. Thank you, sir.
See ya.
Bye-bye. That's Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show, columnist, Commercial Appeal. When we get back, the new book is called The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. The author is Rick Ankiel, former Memphis Redbird, former St. Louis Cardinal, has one of the most fascinating stories of my lifetime, not only in baseball, but in sports in general. I'm going to talk to him about it next.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine, the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, back again for DeSoto Auto Sales. Have you checked out DeSotoAutoSales.com yet? These guys always have vehicles coming in every day, and they range from $8,000 to $25,000, and their website is updated daily with pics and details of each new arrival. If you haven't been on their lot, it's amazing. There are so many great vehicles out there at incredible prices, so if you don't want to pay those new car prices, this is where you need to go. These guys are not one of those dealers that hold out for top dollar. They price their vehicles to move them, to sell them. That's what they're there for. Always over 200 pre-owned vehicles on the ground, plus every car is quality checked before it hits the lot. Fair pricing is guaranteed at DeSoto Auto Sales because, let's face it, most people aren't looking to spend $500 to $600 a month on a vehicle. So if you're looking for a great late model used car, go see my friends at DeSoto Auto Sales. DeSoto Auto Sales is located at 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and they're on the web at DeSoto Auto Sales.
As a jeweler, I'm involved in life's truly special moments, and I have something going on you won't want to miss. This Friday and Saturday, join me for the King Diamond Event. For 2 days, you can see a wonderful selection of diamonds in all shapes and sizes and purchase this weekend at values only found at King. Plus, every purchase comes with my lifetime warranty, and during this event, a year's worth of insurance and no additional charge. Ask about special financing available with approved credit. Choose your diamond, and we'll find you the perfect ring or custom design a ring to go with your diamond. This weekend, a huge selection of diamonds in all shapes and sizes, unbeatable values, a lifetime warranty and maintenance, insurance for a year at no charge to you. In my opinion, that's a slam dunk. Thinking of a spring engagement? Come to King this weekend. Wanting a bigger diamond? Come to King this weekend. Have a big anniversary or birthday? Come to King this weekend. The King Diamond Event, this Friday and Saturday at King. I'm a jeweler. My name is Steve, and my store is King. King Furs and Fine Jewelry in Laurelwood.
Now's the perfect time to put your home ownership plans into action, whether you're buying your first home or building that new addition you've always wanted. The experts at Mortgage Investors Group will find the right loan to best meet your needs. Mortgage Investors Group is a full-service mortgage lender. They are able to provide options for all types of borrowers. They have the options and the expertise to get you one of the best deals available in the market. This is the number one residential lender in the state of Tennessee, not only because they are loan experts, but also because they offer superior customer service, and their mortgage professionals take pride in giving personalized customer service to help find the best solution for you. They're local, active in the community, and experts in the market. So if you're getting ready to finance a home, refinance a home, or pull cash out of the equity in your home, make sure to use Mortgage Investors Group. Here in Memphis, 761-6910. That's the number. Poplar and 240. If you're outside of Memphis, go to the website to find the location nearest you. That's MIGonline.com. Mortgage Investors Group, Equal Housing Lender, License 1091. 11.
Joining a country club doesn't have to break the bank, at least not with the options at Irene Golf and Country Club. There are multiple platinum membership options to choose from, all with no initiation fee. And all membership packages include carts and range balls. 35 or younger, only $130 a month for the young executive membership. Individual weekday membership packages available for only $160 a month. Irene Golf and Country Club, featuring a challenging layout with championship Bermuda greens. The course looks fantastic. So this isn't some smoke and mirrors thing. It's a legit and challenging golf course with all the amenities you want. Driving range, restaurant, bar, gym, tennis, pool. They've got it all. And you aren't required to spend a monthly amount in the pro shop or the bar. If all you want to do is golf, then golf. It's Irene Golf and Country Club. Simply put, an amazing golf and country club experience right here in Memphis off Hacks Cross. On the web at IreneGolfCC.com or call 752-1521. Irene Golf and Country Club.
This is Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show for the 8th straight year. Can you believe that? We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the very first company who ever advertised on the show was Cooper Systems. They've never left, and I'll owe Lee and Lauren Cooper forever for that. Anyway, I'm assuming by now you know the basics about Cooper Systems. You need a computer, that's your spot. You need computer repair, that's your spot. But did you know Cooper Systems also offers business networking and IT services for small to medium-sized businesses? It's true, they do. So if your network or server is not performing as well as it should, call Cooper Systems. They can design and troubleshoot your network or server, configure your firewall for maximum security, and improve your wireless network. They can get a certified network engineer out to your site and get you running smoothly again. So remember, if you need servers, business class workstations, routers, firewalls, laptops, desktops, Microsoft software licensing, Apple products, virus removal, anything, Cooper Systems is your spot. That is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679 on the web, coopersystems.com.
Just being closer can make you a winner. Take the guy who moved in right next door to that emotionally fragile lingerie model who just can't stand being alone. He may not dress well. He may not be all that good looking, but he's closer, and that makes him a winner. It's like Southland Park Gaming and Racing. It has your favorite games, great food, and the best atmosphere around. Plus, it's closer, and that makes you a winner every time you go. Southland Park Gaming and Racing. Closer wins. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 1-800-522-4700.
Orion Federal Credit Union. It's just like a bank. If banks had lower loan rates, better checking accounts, and didn't charge crazy fees.
Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It been a day for me.
Remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan where my accountant lives. In fact, I'm down in this.
Big thanks to Jeff Calkins for being with me in that last segment. But now we switch gears. He's a former Memphis Redbird, a former St. Louis Cardinal. He's one of the best pitching prospects ever. One whose story took an unpredictable turn back in 2000 in his first full season in the major leagues right after he just turned 21 years old. It's a story that is well documented, particularly in this part of the country. It's a story that's now in book form. The new book is titled The Phenomenon, Pressure, The Yips, and The Pitch That Changed My Life. Rick Ankiel is the subject. Rick Ankiel is the author. Rick Ankiel is nice enough to join me now. Rick, it's Gary Parrish in Memphis. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Everything's perfect, man. I appreciate you being here. And first things first, congratulations. The book is selling phenomenally. The reviews have been terrific. I saw earlier today it's number one in baseball books at Amazon.com. So congrats. Things are going well.
Yeah, they are. And I appreciate that. You know, it's been a long process. It took over 4 years to write the book. But just happy we're at the finish line. And definitely appreciating that, you know, people, it's been received well. So I'm definitely appreciating that.
You won't remember this, but I was a young reporter at the Commercial Appeal newspaper here in Memphis when you were a Memphis Redbird. And I happened to be assigned to the Redbirds game on the night that you got the news that you were being called up to the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it was maybe you and Adam Kennedy both got called up on the same night. Do you remember that moment, what it was like when they told you, hey, your lifelong dream, it's coming true. You're going up to the big club.
Oh, there's a story with this. Oh, great moment. You know, Adam was the first-round draft pick in our same draft in 97, and I was the supplemental pick. So anytime we'd ever sign something, he'd always write first-round draft pick. No, and I was going to sign it after he did, just kind of rub it in my face. So then when we were in AAA that year, I started writing first one to the big league, and he'd always be like, nah, that's not going to happen either. Well, Mike Jorgensen, who was our player developmental guy, was in town, and there had been a lot of rumors swirling around that we were getting called up. Well, he walks into the clubhouse that day and says, hey, Adam, Rick, into the manager's office now. Well, I knew we weren't in trouble, but the way he said it kind of indicated his tone was almost that we were in trouble. So we run into the office, And sure enough, he's like, hey, you guys are both going to the big leagues. And we're ecstatic. And, you know, we're really good friends, so it was a really neat moment to be able to share with each other. But he goes, all right, Adam, here's the deal. You're flying to the big leagues tomorrow. Rick, you got to stay and throw a bullpen, so you're not leaving until the next day. So he freaking beat me.
Oh, no.
That is terrific. I'm talking to Rick Akin. I have that memory of seeing you guys, like, getting called into the office. Like, I remember being in the clubhouse afterward, and I just remember thinking, because I grew up playing baseball. I was not a phenomenon, never considered that way. But I just remember thinking, that must be an awesome moment. You worked, like, your whole life to hear those words, and to finally have them delivered to you must be just an unbelievable feeling.
It's indescribable. I mean, your childhood dreams, and now, you know, your family, your friends, you get to make that call and be like, it's happening, I'm going to the show, turn on the TV, make sure, you know, you're going to see me on there, this is real. So all those things and all the emotions that come with it, it's incredible.
I'm talking to Rick Ankiel. The new book is called The Phenomenon, Pressure, The Yips, and The Pitch That Changed My Life. You can get it anywhere you get books, including Amazon.com. Obviously, the reason your story resonates is because we all remember it. You were somebody who was projected to be one of the greats and had all of the stuff that makes people think that you're going to be that. And things were going well. You get the news that you are starting Game 1 NLDS against the Braves, against Greg Maddux at the age of 21. Can you make sense of what happened on that day?
No, I can't tell you why. And at the moment, at the time, I felt invincible. You know, here I was stacking up against everybody in the league. And in that last month, I won Pitcher of the Month. And I had developed a changeup to go with my fastball, my curveball. And it just, you know, it really complimented it. It made me that much more dangerous. And, you know, going into that game, I remember I was more worried about getting a hit off of Greg Maddux than I was pitching, because I thought the pitching would just take care of itself. And then here we are into the third inning, and I threw a pitch on the inside corner, a fastball. When I threw inside, it kind of cut a little bit. I had some natural cut in there, and the catcher missed it. It wasn't really a bad pitch, but he missed it. And in the back of my mind, I thought, man, I just threw a wild pitch. Well, I pushed that to the side and just kept pitching, and a couple pitches later, things just started to unravel. I spiked the curveball, and then I just started launching stuff off the backstop and the screen, having no idea what's happening. I was really too young to even understand. And I remember telling the media after the game, hey, it's a mechanical flaw. This will never happen again. And you know, just looking back, I was just oblivious and too young to even understand what was going on.
For people who don't remember it or didn't witness it, it was five wild pitches just out of nowhere. And your pitching career was never the same after that. Tony La Russa has actually put a lot of the blame on himself. He said that his decision to put you on that stage at such a young age, he feels like that is that haunts him as much as any other decisions he's ever made. Do you think there's something to that, that if you're not in that moment, maybe it goes a different direction?
No, I don't think so. For me, you know, I was living the life that I wanted. You know what I mean? And you know, the only thing I felt like at that time is I felt bad for Daryl Kyle, because he was having a career year. I felt like he probably should have deserved Game 1, being that he was the veteran. But I understood, too, what Tony was doing, because if you look at the series later on, there was going to be somebody that had to pitch on short rest. And being that he was the veteran, he thought that he'd be able to handle that better, pitching on the short rest, the way things were going to match up. But, no, I don't think that contributed to it. I mean, I was ready for it before the game. I didn't have any extra anxiety or any weird nerves. I mean, I the way that last month had ended, especially how good I was, you know, I thought I was going to go out there and have a great game and everything was going to end the way I wanted it to.
I'm talking to Rick Ankiel. The new book is called The Phenomenon, Pressure, The Yips, and The Pitch That Changed My Life. You can find it anywhere you find books, including Amazon.com. So you walk off the mound and you acknowledge, like, you were so young, you just feel like, you know, okay, that rough outing, I'll be fine. I grew up a Mets fan. So I went to the NLCS that year, and I was there for Game 2 when you were pitching. I can still remember. I was sitting in left field, and it happens again. At that point, does it start to shake you?
I'm sorry. Say that last part again.
Does it start to shake you a little bit at that point? Like, oh, no, like there's something going on here? Because one incident, you can sort of just chalk it up to we had a bad night. When it happened again against the Mets in the NLCS, is that when you really start to get worried?
Yes.
Absolutely. And in between those starts, you know, I threw a bullpen where I was lights out, had pinpoint control, and I felt like, hey, whatever that was, it's gone, and I'm back to being me. And then, you know, after the game two, after what happened and I started to unravel again, that's when I knew, okay, there's something wrong here. And then we ended up losing that series to the Mets. And then what, you know, what I was thinking was, all right, we're coming into the offseason, you know, I'll have a couple months away from the game, and hopefully this will be done. And when I come back next year, I'll be back to being who I was. And, you know, unfortunately, when that season started to approach in 2001, what I found was that it was in me deeper and darker than it ever had before.
I know you've written and discussed that at that point, and I hope people who are young enough not to remember this understand, like, who you were. Like, you were Noah Syndergaard. I mean, you were, like, in terms of the guys who are around right now, you were the next great thing. And suddenly it's just unravel, and you're looking for any answer you can maybe find. And you, at some point, actually turned to drinking before starts to try to just settle down a little bit. Like, you've explained, you were drinking vodka before a start just to try to calm your nerves, just so that you could pitch. How do you even get to that point?
So leading up to that 2001 season, that's when, you know, I was in the worst of it. And now starting to just try to cope with it and deal with it. So, you know, that spring training was just so up and down and all over the place. But I did make this team out of spring, and now I'm going to face Randy Johnson in my first start of the season. And we're in Arizona. You know, about 2 weeks before that start, somebody mentioned to me, hey, maybe you just try pitching Buzz. You know, maybe that'll take the edge off. And I just kind of blew it off casually, like, yeah, ha-ha, whatever. And then that day comes, and I didn't plan on it, but I get to the field, and I was terrified and scared to death. I knew it wasn't going to go well. I had more anxiety that I could – it was so overwhelming. I knew going out there, I'm going to end up throwing balls all over the place on national TV against Randy Johnson. This is going to be humiliating. So I go to Daryl. This is probably 2 hours, an hour and a half before the game is going to start. I was just desperate. I went to Daryl Kyle, who was a friend and my mentor, and I went to him privately and said, hey, you think you can go get me some alcohol and put it in a water bottle? And he's like, hey, I understand. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, so I drank before the game, and I remember, and it was working. I mean, I was pitching great. I remember during about the third inning or so, I could feel the anxiety trying to overcome the alcohol. I was in between innings. I'm just sitting in there drinking out of that water bottle, and it worked. I mean, I beat Randy Johnson, so – you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, I found something that worked. I mean, I'm not proud of it, but it was what it was. It got me through that game. And I remember telling my psychologist, Harvey Dorfman, after the game, you know, hey, this is what I had to do to make it through that game. And he's like, listen, I'm telling you, it's not real. You know, but I was like, hey, you know, I was successful. I beat Randy Johnson. So I tried it the next game. And darn if he wasn't right, because during that next game, I tried the same thing, but the powerfulness, the anxiety and everything that comes with it was so powerful. It overcame the alcohol, and, you know, I realized, hey, this isn't the answer, and this isn't going to work. And I had to face it head on. And I made a couple more starts, but, you know, they were all terrible. And I ended up going back down to the minor league to try to fix it.
Well, you came back down to Memphis, and I almost feel weird about this in hindsight, but you and I are a similar age. So I was young when you were young. And I can remember, like, thinking, let's go down to AutoZone Park. Rick Ankiel's throwing. And, like, it was almost like we were watching, like, we were at the zoo, you know, observing this thing that none of us had ever seen before. I can't imagine what that was like for you, because you're humbled in a way you never anticipated, because I didn't know you well when you were here, but you struck me as someone who was very sure of himself in all walks of life. And to then suddenly be reduced to that and having people just stare at you, waiting, almost waiting for you to throw the ball into the backstop. Like, I can't imagine what that was like.
Oh, it was awful. You know, it's the most terrible thing I've ever been through. I've said this before, I don't wish it on anybody. Here you are 1 minute living your dream and being able to throw a baseball exactly where you want, however you want, whenever you want, to not even being able to play catch. And yeah, I remember that game in Memphis, and it was one of the worst games I had ever had. You know, just and it's unexplainable, and that's the thing. Nobody can tell you why this happened and how to fix it, really. And that's when everything was the worst. I mean, that was the worst time of it for me and my life and all during that 2001. And, you know, then I had to keep going down. I went all the way to rookie ball. And finally, when I got to rookie ball, just being down there where there's not that many fans, there wasn't cameras. You know, I actually
started to get it back. I pitched really well down there, and you know, then I went into the 2001 offseason with a clear head, so to speak, because I'd ended well, and you know, was hoping that I was coming back to be me again.
I'm talking to Rick Ankiel. The new book released this week, The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. We've been talking about the bad stuff for a while. I think it's important for people who might not be familiar with your story to understand this has a good ending, because you went and reinvented yourself and became a big league outfielder. I don't know that how many other people in recent history could do such a thing. Did you know you were capable of, okay, I'm not going to be a pitcher anymore, but I'm going to turn into a legitimate big league outfielder and hitter? Did you know that was possible for you?
No, I didn't. And, you know, matter of fact, I mean, I could hit, but I didn't know that was going to be possible. And matter of fact, I walked in 2005 into Tony's office with the idea that I was giving up my dream and I wasn't going to be a baseball player anymore or a pitcher anymore, and walked in and told him, hey, I can't do this anymore. It wasn't even an hour later, I'm on my couch at home having no idea what my future's going to look like. But my agent, Scott Boras, calls and says, hey, are you ready to go play? And I remember saying to him, ready to go play what? Is nobody listening to me? I just quit. I retired. I'm done. He's like, no, to be an outfielder. And at that time, you know, that's a crazy thought. And for me, I had just fallen out of love with baseball. I said, look, I don't know. I need time to think about this. So I hang up. I'm sitting on my couch. I mean, 4 or 5 hours go by, and I'm trying to visualize what this would look like and what it would feel like, what it would be like. And finally, I get to a moment where I visualize myself back in the big leagues and hitting a home run as a position player. And once I visualized that, I called him back, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm on board 100%. He said, okay, let me call the Cardinals. At the time, Walt Jocketty was the general manager. He calls me and says, hey, we're on board. Show up tomorrow, and we'll give you a chance to be an outfielder and try to make it back. And that's where the process started.
What an amazing turn of events. I'm talking to Rick Ankiel here. The new book is called The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. Though you dealt with the yips, which is a real thing, by the way, for people who don't know, in a very public and famous way, I gather by talking about this and writing about this, you've realized that you're not out there by yourself. There are other people who deal with this in a variety of ways. Maybe not on the same stage you dealt with it, like in postseason baseball. But it must be comforting on some level to know that, A, you're not the only one who went through this, and B, maybe you being so honest and candid about your story can help somebody else.
No, you're exactly right, and that's the thing. When I went through it, you know, nobody who's been through it really wants – nobody wants to talk about it. And I get it, because it's humiliating and embarrassing, and maybe they don't know what to say. And on the top of that, I couldn't find literature on it, right? Nobody wrote about it, or maybe they didn't understand it. And that's the thing. Now that I've made it to the other side of it and I understand, hey, it's not my fault. It's just something that happens. I understand that I can help other people. And, you know, the book has – there's a lot of different things. I mean, I came from a dysfunctional home, and there's people who've gone through that too. And now you talk about going through the yips and how severely depressed I was. And, you know, there's plenty of people who deal with that. So, you know, I understood that in telling my story, I could help other people in all walks of life, not just athletes, because I remember getting letters from, you know, writers and announcers or, you know, people in all professions who said, hey, I've been through something similar. So to be able to share my story and the understanding that I might be able to help someone else is really rewarding, and all the feedback that I've gotten, you know, it's only been a couple of days since the book's come out, but everything's been great, and I've had people reach out to me and thank me, and it's been rewarding, and it's a really cool thing to go through.
It has been awesome to have you share your story. It's been cool to have you here. I'm happy to hear that you're doing well. I'm excited about the success surrounding the book, and I can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. Take care, Rick. That's Rick Ankiel. I mean, what a remarkable story. If you're too young to have remembered the Rick Ankiel phenomenon, because he really was a phenomenon. Like, when you start talking about the next great stud pitcher, like right now, it's probably Noah Syndergaard,
yep.
Thor, who gets thrown out there a lot. Up until last year, it was Jose Fernandez. Rick Ankiel was thought of that way. Like, he had the goods, and he was going to be the next great thing. And then it just all falls apart, and it's all mental, and he never was able to fix it. Mm. But he was able to still reinvent himself and become a legitimate big league outfielder. He played several more seasons in the major leagues and now works with the Nationals mentoring young players. So it's just a fascinating story. The book that I've read some of, haven't finished the whole thing yet, but the parts that I've read are just really, really super interesting because he talks about his issues so candidly. So if you are into baseball at all or just into how the human mind can derail even the best physical specimens, go check it out. The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. The author is Rick Ankiel. We back with Dinner to Go.
Hey, it's Eric. Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan. For the people.
You want to work with an agent who guarantees to sell your home, want to work with an agent that has buyers lined up, that means you want to work with Josh Heisaw. He's the man behind the 45-day guarantee. It's his unique selling proposition for selling homes that creates more demand and gets them sold fast and for more money than the average agent. He'll sit down with you, help you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. Eventually, you guys will agree on a price, and if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh Heisaw will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll buy the home from you. You pick. Totally up to you. It's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, he'll let you out of the contract. You'll be free and clear. And a whole bunch of listeners over the years of this show have heard me talking about Josh and got in touch with him. One of them is Annie, had a home out in Kyleville, listed it with Josh Heisaw. He went to work, sold it 7 days later, had a cash buyer. He did that for Annie. He can do that for you. So call the only real estate agent I'd call if I needed to sell my home. It's Josh Heisaw. 461-8147. 461-8147 on the web. JoshSellsTheMidSouth.com.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine here once again for MemphisHairDoctor.com. New Body Concepts. You've been hearing me talk about this company for years, and it's because they're simply the best. They have a new office location in Germantown, but the same incredible staff that has more experience with the NeoGraft procedure than anyone in the area. They have done millions of grafts. They are the top NeoGraft provider in the southeastern United States, and they have the best prices in the entire country. The NeoGraft procedure revolutionized hair restoration. No longer do you have to go through a pain scar-inducing procedure that doesn't look natural and just leaves you wondering, why did you do it in the first place? The NeoGraft procedure uses your own hair, so it's natural and it looks fantastic. I went through the process 4.5 years ago. I've had friends go through the process. It really does work. But don't take my word for it. Go to the website, MemphisHairDoctor.com, or give them a call. Set up your free consultation. 855-865-HAIR. 855-865-HAIR. Call my friend Missy. Get set up with a free consultation today. 855-865-HAIR. New Body Concepts.
Jim Karras Chevrolet is at 2000 Covington Pike on the web, jimkarrasmemphis.com. Find new roads. It's family-owned and operated since 1949, open 6 days a week every day except Sunday, and nobody in the entire Mid-South has a larger inventory of new Chevrolets than Jim Karras Chevrolet. 0% financing is available. Right now, huge inventory. More than 100 Silverados, Suburbans, Tahoes in stock at 2000 Covington Pike. You want a crew cab Silverado, you can get one up to $8,000 off. You want a Tahoe, you can get one for less than $20 a day. You can drive a Suburban for less than $30 a day. You pick the vehicle. Call Ben Karras at 387-2000. Talk to Ben or any of the managers. Then get you a price within 15 minutes. That's a promise. You can get a price in 15 minutes. Nobody's trying to make you hang out all day. You identify the car you want. You ask for a price. They'll get it to you inside of 15 minutes. Pre-owned vehicles, they got 200-plus of them right now in stock, ready to move. Toyotas, Hondas, Fords, Dodges, Nissans, luxury brands, cars, trucks, SUVs, high-end cars, low-end cars, whatever you want, you can get it. Jim Karras Chevrolet. Shop online, JimKarrasMemphis.com, JimKarrasMemphis.com. That's Jim Karras Chevrolet, 2000 Covington Pike. Find new roads on the web, JimKarrasMemphis.com.
It's that time of year when you want to be downtown. So the next time you are, try a Memphis favorite for Italian right on South Main.
Spendini. Parking is easy, and it's the perfect pre- and post-Grizzlies destination. Every Monday night, Spendini goes half price on wine and pizza. And if you're about that patio life, Spendini has the best one on South Main. How about the largest bourbon menu in Memphis? Bourbon lovers love Spendini as well. It's time you give it a try. Spendini, simply elegant Italian. 383 South Main and SpendiniMemphis.com.
Celebrate Earth Month with Kroger and save on quality brands that help protect our planet. Download over $60 in digital coupons at sustainabilitylivshere.com.
Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The road goes straight to hell. It's been twisted as the lies a liar tells himself. So don't ask me how I even got here. I only know I ain't gonna go.
Systems are in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. If you need a new computer, refurbished computer, custom-built computer, they can help you. High-end, low-end, doesn't matter. And, yes, Apple products. That Apple store is beautiful. I've been inside of it. I won't hate you forever if you go there sometimes, but here's what I'm telling you. Before you go spend what you're going to spend at that Apple store, pick up the phone, call Lee and Lauren Cooper, 360-9679. 360-9679. Tell them what you're looking for. I bet they got what you want or they can get it for you, and it will be at a fraction of the price. So why would you not call? 360-9679. 360-9679. Also, virus removal, data recovery. If you have a cracked screen, they can fix it. Whatever you need. New computer, refurbished computer, custom-built computer, or computer repair. Cooper Systems, your spot. 360-9679. 360-9679. It's Cooper Systems. Mount Moriah Office Park on the web. CooperSystems.com. How awesome was Rick Ankiel?
He was really good.
I could have really talked to him for really 45 good. Minutes.
I was fascinated by his story. Even some of the intricacies within the interview, like he mentions Daryl Kyle. Daryl Kyle is gone. He died in Chicago while he was playing. And that brought back that memory. And then I remember him going back. I remember the pitch, the game that you were at. And then I remember him being an awesome outfielder again, which is pretty wild.
Like, of his three most the games in which he blew up.
Yeah.
It was game one of that NLDS against the Braves, game two of that NLCS against the Mets. And then, honestly, the one I remember after that is the one at AutoZone Park when they sent him down.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, let's send him down and maybe he'll get right. And he came here and just threw the ball all over
That's
the place.
Something.
And so I was there in the stadium for two of those three. I was there for the game two NLCS against the Mets. And then I was at AutoZone Park. So I've always been fascinated by his story, and to see him, to hear him talk so openly
honestly,
and candidly about it, I thought was just
it's powerful,
really interesting. Like, I really could have done an hour with Rick Ankiel. Maybe we will some other time. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A lot of stuff. I think the most notable might be that Aaron Hernandez was possibly gay, and that could have been his motivation for murder.
I think so.
That's a story at Newsweek published during this show. Go check it out. But it essentially says that among the reasons he might have murdered Odin Lloyd was because Odin Lloyd knew that he had another life.
Love. Yeah.
And he didn't want that to become public knowledge, so I got to put six bullets in you. Weird story, wild story. I guess there's nothing weird and wild about the Aaron Hernandez story at this point, but you can read that at Newsweek.com.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Celtics Bulls Game 3 Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Eight-seeded Bulls are up 2-0 and at home. Rajon Rondo out, presumably for the series. Got a fractured finger. No number one seed's ever gone down 3-0 in a playoff series. The Celtics were underdogs before the Rondo news. Now they're two-point favorites. Tip is at 6 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
Dateline NBC. Mm-hmm. It's the Lacey Peterson story tonight. Oh. The Dateline investigation. I thought we figured this out already.
I thought so, too. But
I thought like her husband was on death row at San Quentin because he was found guilty of first-degree murder.
That's not it? That's not the end of the story?
I don't know why Leland's investigating this. Like, I feel like we got to the bottom of this already.
I thought we figured this one out.
But I'm not going to disparage the great Dateline name.
Who's reporting?
Doesn't say.
Okay.
Doesn't say. I feel like this is a joint effort. Starts at 8 on NBC. I'm imagining they're just going to investigate and find that Scott Peterson killed Lacey Peterson.
Yeah.
But maybe there'll be something more. I don't know.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
I think probably the Aaron Hernandez story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, read that. It's wild.
Seems wild. Newsweek.com.
What's on tap next week?
Well, we'll look back at Game 4, Grizz Spurs. Get ready for Game 5, which we now know is guaranteed thanks to last night's win. ESPN's Kevin Arnovitz is going to join me during Monday's show. It should be fun. So enjoy your weekend. I will enjoy mine. It really is going to be an awesome weekend.
Yeah.
You got the Hot Wing Fest going on tomorrow. The Lucero party going on tomorrow.
And
you've got Metro Boomin' over at the University Memphis campus tomorrow. And then, of course, Game 4 Grizzly Spurs. I might do all those things.
Do them all. Do them all, Gary.
I might go see Young Metro, go see Lucero, go eat hot wings, and go to Game 4 Grizzly Spurs.
I'm up for it.
I feel like I tried that one time. It didn't work so well.
Yeah.
Second time's a charm?
Why not?
Why not? Meet me back here Monday at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good, and rep your hood.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.